Is he my prince? Is he the toad? Waiting, wondering, is getting too old. I'm gonna let down my hair, slide up my skirt, get me up, be the biggest little flirt. Welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
And it's another Monday night. This is the Shame Free Zone. I am your host, Veronica Monet, and I thank you for tuning in. My guest tonight comes all the way from London. Actually, I think she comes all the way from London via India. We're going to find out in a minute here. Her name is beautiful, and I've actually been trying to practice pronouncing it, so hopefully it'll roll right off of my tongue. Mahasattva Ananda Sarita. Oops, I missed one there. It's actually Mahasattva Ma Ananda Sarita. She's got a PhD, and she's got a brand new book. It's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous, beautiful, full colors. Lovely, lovely photos, very erotic. And the name of the book is called Divine Sexuality, The Joy of Tantra. And it comes through Findhorn Press, so you can find it on Amazon. And just to shorten your name a little bit, Sarita, I'm going to be calling you Sarita if you're okay with that.
Yes, that's fine. Everybody calls me Sarita.
I had a feeling. But I have to say, Mahasattva Ma Ananda Sarita is beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous. So, now, looking over your book, I see you've actually dedicated it to, it says, to my spiritual master, Osho, who through his compassion gave me my second birth. And I wondered if this would be a good place, for a point of departure for us, if you could tell us a little bit about your association with Osho. And were you in Pune, or were you a medium, or could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, actually, I was born in California.
Okay.
And then I left home when I was 15. And by the age of 17, I had arrived in India. And I did that hitchhiking through Europe, the Middle East, and then into India. I was searching for the essence of life.
Right.
And while I was in India, I got involved in meditation, Buddhist meditation. And then I met Osho, who became my spiritual master. He's the one that gave me that funny name.
The beautiful name.
Yes, it's a lovely name. Mahasattva is a title, which means great wisdom essence, and he gave me that after I'd been with him for about 13 years.
Wow. So from age 17 to 30.
Yes. And I stayed in his community for 26 years, and that was mainly in India. And yes, I acted as his medium during what he called energy darshans.
Okay.
And I received a lot of personal guidance from him on the subject of Tantra meditation, and I also studied holistic healing when I was there. So I finally went into teaching holistic healing and also Tantra.
And actually, you have started a school of awakening in London?
Yes, that was running for about 12 years. And then recently I closed the School of Awakening because I'm doing so much international work and I couldn't do both. I'm working in a different way that I simply have people who organize for me and I travel and I go to different countries and so on.
Is that part of Tantra Essence?
Yes, Tantra Essence. That's my new website.
Okay. And so you're traveling, teaching workshops or lecturing, or what kind of work are you doing?
Yes, I do conferences, and I also do workshops. And the workshops last anything from 1 day to 10 days. It depends on, you know, what people need and what they're interested in and which country it's in and so on and so forth. But I travel almost nonstop and do groups.
Do you have anything coming up in the U.S.?
In the U.S., I don't have one scheduled, but I have done a couple of groups in the U.S., and those two groups have been working with the Vigyan Bhairav Tantra, which is a very ancient tantra scripture that has 112 methods of tantric meditation. And so we play with those during a weekend. And I also do a longer group based on the Vigyan Bhairav Tantra, which is held in Dharamsala, India. And that's a 9-day group, and I do that every year. So I think it would be nice to do more in the U.S. It just my work always depends on invitations, you know, an organizer who would like to organize for me to come and teach.
Right.
And then it gets set up.
Well, looking at your book, you've actually been blurred by Margot Anand. That's about as much tantric expertise as anybody has. Margot Anand, she's pretty much considered, I think, you know, the expert on the subject of tantra.
Yes.
And she's given you her blessings, I see. Do you know her? Do you teach with her?
I've never taught with her, and in fact, I've never done a group with her.
Right.
But she was also an Osho devotee, and so I met her in Pune in the Osho's community.
Oh, you did? Was she there the same time you were there then?
Yeah, she was there, and I met her a few times. And she was very, very kind to give me that endorsement.
Oh,
she did it based on, you know, reading the book and then...
Well, I should read the endorsement. It says, Divine Sexuality offers a rare blend of well-researched scientific information about sexual physiology down to earth simple tantric practices, inspiring spiritual teachings, and wonderful illustrations. This is a great guide for singles and couples. We all need such teachings urgently.
Yes.
Margot Anand, for the listeners who've never heard of her, she's the author of The Art of Sexual Magic and The Art of Everyday Ecstasy. And she's also started something called, Sky Dancing Tantra?
Yeah, she established her work under the name Sky Dancing Tantra. And I think she was one of the main people who's introduced Tantra to the Western world, what people call Neo-Tantra or... New Age Tantra. So she's helped Western people to really grasp and understand what Tantra is all about. She's done a phenomenal job.
Absolutely. But back to your book here. Now, is this your first one?
No, I have another book which is called Tantric Love, which has been on the market for some years. And Tantric Love is more geared towards couples, and Divine Sexuality is geared towards couples and singles as well. In fact, it's geared for people of all ages
and from
all backgrounds.
Oh, yes, actually. You know what? You've got pictures of people from all ages in here. I see that. Sensuality for Elders, Chapter 21. So, people get very confused about what Tantra means.
For good reason.
Can you give us your definition? I know it means different things to different people.
If you want to look at the word Tantra, it comes from Sanskrit, and it means to weave. And that would indicate weaving together dualities, polar opposites. And when you bring polar opposites together in that point of meeting, you can contact the divine essence of life, or what we could call the creation principle. Another meaning is methods of transformation. And it also can mean methods for raising consciousness. So there are different meanings of Tantra. In Sanskrit, each word
there
has
are,
about
and,
five
and they're
meanings.
Not all about sex either.
No, in fact, it's a lifestyle approach which includes sexuality. And because it is a sort of spiritual approach to life that includes sexuality, people became very excited about the sexual aspect. But in fact, it addresses every aspect of the human being, whatever that is. And the secret behind Tantra, if you want it in a nutshell, is that you're just bringing a meditative awareness to every aspect of life, and that becomes a portal into awakened consciousness. And that can be emotions, it can be the senses, it can be sexuality, it can be mental cognitive awareness, any aspect of the human being can be used as that portal.
Well, what do you think? What do you think Tantra has to offer Western culture? What would be the most glaring thing that's missing from people's sex lives without Tantra? If they haven't had any tantric influence, what do you think is the biggest thing that's missing?
I think a sensitivity and awareness of how to work with sexual energy is missing. Like a conscious, a conscious sexuality. What people refer to as sacred sexuality. I think there's a huge amount of unconsciousness and misunderstanding about the power of sexuality and how that can transform your life for the better on all levels.
So how can it transform your life?
It's the raw physical energy. This is one thing. And if you leave it in its raw state, then it has more to do with reproduction and the animal aspects within us. And as we start refining it, then we can use that to awaken all of our potential inside, whether that's our emotional state, whether that's our sense of well-being on the planet as one with all that is, whether it's to open our hearts or to open our spiritual aspects.
Well, and I think sacred sexuality is also, it sounds good, but I don't know that people have a definition for sacred sexuality either. And is there a difference, you think, between Tantra and sacred sexuality, or are they about one and the same?
Well, in Tantra, I think Tantra has a much more expanded vision, you could say, about how to combine sex, love, and spirituality. Sacred sexuality is focusing more explicitly on sex, just sex. And Tantra will widen that vision to include everything that we are. And sex is the basic foundation. There's a very beautiful saying in Tantra, no mud, no lotus.
No mud, no lotus?
Yes. And what that represents is that it's said that at our crown chakra, it's the crown of the head, that opens into a thousand petaled lotus of consciousness. But if the lotus doesn't have its roots deep in the mud at the bottom of the lake, that flower cannot grow. So the mud represents our sexuality, our animality. And we need to do a very refined research and experience into that mud where the roots are in order to grow that lotus of consciousness. And so Tantra is, I believe, the only spiritual approach besides different kind of shamanic methods.
But so we're really talking about using sexuality as a doorway to the divine?
Yes, exactly. And if you think about it, I've posed this question many times in conferences or groups. If you define what happens in the moment of orgasm, for example, and you start putting words to it, and if I write those words on the board, if I'm teaching, and people say all kind of things like ecstasy, timelessness, going beyond the body and mind, expansion into the universe, being in the moment totally and fully, bliss, letting go, So people give all these words, and if you heard the words isolated from thinking about sex, then you would say, oh, those are the words of a great saint who's accessed an amazing spiritual state. And in fact, orgasm comes very, very close to the highest or the most expanded of spiritual states. And if we can bring our awareness to that, it will become a portal into expanded spiritual states. And I think everybody senses the potential in sex of that it is a kind of holy communion. And often people will have an amazing awakening or expansive experience during sex and then try to reproduce that later, and they don't know how to do it. So in a sense, Tantra will offer the science of how to activate that really, really beautiful, your best sexual experience that you've ever had in your life, how to activate that on a regular basis.
Well, okay. So, but isn't the pursuit of an orgasm sometimes, you know, like that goal-driven type of sex, which I think kind of defines Western sexuality, doesn't that almost preclude having a spiritual or sacred sexual experience?
It depends on the level of totality, because sometimes in sexual release, genital release, which is different than orgasm, like genital release can also be associated with orgasm, but you don't need genital release in order to experience orgasm. So this is the difference. And yes, in Tantra, in most cases, there will be no goal. Like, you're not driving yourself towards the goal. You're simply in a state of openness, and you access either sexual release, or you can bring that sexual energy through your whole body and then have a more total orgasm with the universe. However, genital release can also be part of Tantra. And but I think in our, as you said, in our Western society, normally people simply go for the goal of orgasm, meaning genital release, and then that's it. The game is over. And in that sense, people are not living their full potential that can be available for ecstasy and bliss and expanded consciousness.
You know, your book, actually, on page 92, talks about hormonal cycles for men and the male sexual cycle. I'm changing the topic now, but I'm sorry. I was just kind of... Well, a lot of people are going to go, huh? So.
Yes, it's very interesting that just as men have shadow breasts, you know, men have nipples, which are not being used to nurture the child, but they're there.
Yeah.
Men also have a shadow sexual cycle like women have. And I've talked to some men who have actually kept diaries throughout the month, and they realize that, yes, they do have a kind of dip in their energy levels at a certain precise time. They go through emotional upheaval, just like the woman does. It's less exaggerated than the woman's cycle, but it is there.
Interesting. So, I think you actually recommend that the men keep a monthly journal so they kind of get a sense of their hormonal cycles?
Yes, it's very, very interesting to do that.
And does a man's cycle go every month, or is this...
There's a monthly cycle, which is like a shadow of the woman's menstrual cycle, but also men are very influenced by the sun and, you know, the solar flares and all of that, that very strongly links into the male psyche and body.
So how would a man be able to find out about solar flares and how that's influencing him?
Well, what he could do is I would basically study it online, that when there's sunspot activity, and just take note of how he's feeling, because there's a noted rise in violence, for example, when there's more sunspot activity, and it goes in cycles as well of 9 years. So that somebody could just study and find out, and just be aware that, you know, if there is going to be a lot of this sunspot activity, to just be conscious of it and maybe not do something ridiculous, like in terms of violence, because the man is very influenced by testosterone, and testosterone has a lot to do with the impulse for protection and competition and boundaries and even war. That can all be very much influenced through the rush of testosterone.
Yes,
and
right.
So I think kind of tendencies, they just need an awareness brought to them.
And speaking of the, you know, male versus female, the chapter 13, you talk about sex act in yin and sex act in yang. And
yes.
Can you talk a little bit about the yin and the yang and how that's envisioned in tantric sex?
Yes, this is a very important subject which is entirely missed by Western sexual attitudes. The sex act in yin would mean what's called the valley orgasm, when the man and the woman simply plug in, if I can use that term, where there is genital union.
Right.
But then there is no activity whatsoever. You're not pumping, you're not humping, you're not moving. You're just being together in a very tender, loving fusion of your energies.
And that would be yin? Is that yin?
That would be yin. Yin means the feminine, the passive, going deep into non-doing, expansion into the soul. So you're just dropping down and letting go. And it's not sleep. It's more of a deep meditation. Like people think of sitting in meditation and, you know, witnessing their breath or watching their navel or whatever you think of about meditation, but you can also meditate while you're in sexual union with your partner. And if you stay in union like that for about 20 minutes, that will create a very deep bonding on a soul level between the two partners.
And this, so there's penetration, a vaginal penis penetration, but
yes.
There's no movement. Once you've achieved penetration, you just lie together.
Yes, you just lay together. And you can also do penetration even with a soft penis, which is very interesting for some men who have issues around erection, for example. And I demonstrate in my book how you can do that through the scissors position. And,
yes, actually, you do demonstrate that.
Yes.
And I guess the question is that, you know, if a couple wanted to try that tonight, should they get a timer out?
You don't have to get a timer out because, you see, the brainwave goes in cycles of yin and yang, and those cycles last, the different brainwave cycles last for about 20 minutes each. So sometimes you'll have more active brainwave cycles and sometimes more passive or going towards sleep or into deep sleep brainwave cycles. And there's a natural occurrence of yin and yang moving through us all day long, all year long, all life long. And if we can learn to just ride those cycles, and again, I keep repeating, bringing awareness to it, you can open up into incredibly blissful spaces inside. So in my book, I'm talking about making love in yin, but also making love in yang, where you're going into peak arousal.
Okay.
And getting into the fire and the passion and all of that. And then I'm also talking about riding the waves of yin and yang, and that leads to incredibly fulfilling lovemaking. Because, in fact, we need to give equal space to the feminine yin within us as to the masculine yang within us to be really fulfilled. And if you can include equal spaces of yin and yang in a lovemaking session, there you have incredible tantric sex, and you can just go on for hours making love.
Okay, so now how would... It's a lot of people think that's just out of their realm of possibility. So, you know, they hear, go hours and hours. Oh, and, you know, that's for somebody like Sting. How could I?
Mm.
So,
well, that's what I'm describing in my book. It's very easy. If you, I teach it in my groups, you know, so I know it's easy. I have a 7-level course for couples. They go through a 3-year process where they're doing 7 different courses with me, and they refine their lovemaking techniques beyond anything most people can imagine. But anyway, yes, to access it, I'm trying to bring it to a very simple, basic understanding, you know, in the book that people can really follow. And this yin-yang lovemaking is a really wonderful, wonderful method. And you can start either in yin or in yang. And if you're going into yang, you would begin with the normal scenario where you're getting excited and you're building up a connection and all of that. And then eventually you're plugging in and you start going towards orgasm. But before you reach the point of no return, you simply let go of all activity and you drop into yin. Now, I've had many people say, oh, I do that all the time. I ride the waves. But if I ask them, they usually stay in yin only about 1 minute maximum, and then they start pumping again. So in this case, you're doing 20 minutes of yang followed by 20 minutes of yin. And then you go again into yang 20 minutes and then again into yin 20 minutes. And you can go into either 3 waves of yang and yin, or more, or less. It depends on you and what's happening on the moment. But if
so
you do 3 waves, that would be...
Can we back up for just a second?
Yes.
And so during yang, and you're going to be actually moving.
During yin, you're not moving.
Right. And during
yang, you are moving.
Okay.
You're doing everything to get very excited. You're going towards heat and passionate build-up.
Okay.
And usually there's a goal kind of attitude because you're building up your excitement and you want to go towards more pleasure and more excitement and whatever.
Right.
So that's a very yang style.
And how long do you do yang?
20 minutes.
So you're going to do 20 minutes of yin, then 20 minutes of yang, and then back.
Or you can start with yang and then go into yin as you like.
So, okay, so let's say you started with yang. Would you go to the point of orgasm and then stay...
Just before orgasm.
Just before orgasm.
What people normally consider orgasm, which is what I refer to as genital release.
Right.
Just before that, you let go of all activity and you drop into yin.
Okay.
And is
there any special breathing that you recommend that people do when they're doing this? Or
when you're going into yin, it's very nice to do long, slow breaths and actually breathe together with your partner if possible. So you're breathing in and out at the same time. Or
Okay. You
could also play with sharing the breath. As the man breathes out, the woman breathes in. As the woman breathes out, the man breathes in. That's a really beautiful way to enjoy breath awareness while in lovemaking.
And then when you're doing the yang, should it be just the, you know, whatever turns you on kind of sexual activity?
While you're in the yin, the most important thing is that the man's lingam is inside of the woman's yoni.
Mm-hmm.
Lingam means wand of light, that's the penis. And yoni means sacred place, so that's the woman's genitals. And so you start in that position and you're together, you're in fusion, your body is very connected. And then while you're in yin, it's possible that the man's lingam will become soft. And he may even fall out of the woman, but you stay completely connected. So you're not moving. You're not also just frigidly lying there. You're melted into each other. And your eyes are closed or open as you like. You might like to look into each other's eyes, or you might like to close your eyes and just go in and drop down. And this leads to a kind of void space. And if we can really relax into that void, that's a place where our souls start meeting. And it's very deeply fulfilling for the woman, because usually the woman is not given enough space to be in her yin essence in lovemaking. She's trying to catch up with the man all the time.
Oh, I see so much of that as a sexologist in my office. So many women who are trying desperately to match themselves to male sexual desire, pace themselves to that, and then they wonder why they're not able to achieve orgasm.
They cannot be fulfilled in that way. And I work with that a huge amount in the Tantra groups, you know, coaching couples and doing women's groups also, and maybe a male co-teacher will do groups for men, so that men and women can actually learn and understand how they function differently and yet in a very complementary way. And this is vital. So this yin and yang lovemaking, when you're in yin, it gives a lot of space for the feminine to expand in a state of non-doing. And by doing that, it brings the male and female energies into balance. And then, for example, when you go into the second wave of yang, the man and woman will be so connected on such a deep level that it will be much easier to go into that peak arousal together, really together for the first time, maybe.
What can people expect? You know, I certainly have gotten some warnings that with some tantric techniques you have to be careful. You know, some people talk about kundalini rising. I've heard some people give warnings about kriyas and things like that. And I'm just wondering, you know, what is your take on that?
Well, my take on it is that if you play with kundalini energy, you need to have emotional fluidity. And that's why in my book I talk about emotional release, and I give method for that. Because as kundalini awakens, that means as our basic life force energy moves up through the chakra system, it will open up all of who we are. And if we have emotional stagnation inside, like we have repressions, then of course that will start opening up as you awaken your kundalini flow. And that's why people give a warning, because some people, they have so much repression inside with their emotions, and then as that opens up, they feel very scared. They don't know how to handle that. But if you simply learn some very simple and basic emotional release methods and you practice that, then you can handle kundalini rising with no problem. It's very easy, actually.
Well, what is kundalini rising? I mean, there's a lot of people listening to us right now who probably never heard of that.
Yes, kundalini rising is your basic life force energy, meaning your sexual and animal energy within you, that starts moving not only just in your sex center, but it starts moving up and engaging with other centers of energy within you, what are called chakras. And the second chakra has to do with, that would be in the lower belly, that has to do with birth, the portals of birth and death, and all the emotional states that are in between birth and death. So it opens up a huge amount of experience and energy and power and whatever within us. And that can be scary for some people.
Right.
And in fact, that second chakra is a feminine positive pole. This is where the power of women resides. And most women I meet are absolutely unaware of the huge power that they carry inside. And so then that energy rises up to the solar plexus, and this is a male positive pole.
Uh-huh.
And this has to do with the harmony of opposites and becoming vast enough to contain contradictory elements within us. And if a man can really access his power at the third chakra, he will then be able to handle a woman, because the woman is very contradictory, and he needs to be able to really hold her in pure presence, and that's what he can learn in that third chakra. And then you raise that energy up further, you come to the heart. And this is accessing love and compassion. And the heart is a positive pole for women. And you hear sometimes women talking about orgasm of the heart. And that's a possibility in Tantra, that you can have orgasm not only in your genitals, but in all of these chakras within you. And then that energy goes on rising up. It comes to the throat. And the throat is the center of creativity, where we become a co-creator with the divine. And we become master of our own destiny. And this is a male positive pole. And you can also experience orgasm of the throat.
So
and
let's slow down just a little bit. Let's go
yes.
back to the whole idea of being creative, partner with the divine, because this is hard for a lot of people to follow. And what does that really mean? Create what? A lot of people only associate creating babies with sex.
Yes. Well, you're in tune with the creation principle, which could mean creating babies, or it could mean any kind of act of creativity. And it's also about accessing your potential as a human being, whatever that is, whether that's writing books or whether that's ice skating, whether that's preparing food or whatever. And you probably have heard of the book The Secret.
Oh, absolutely.
Which talks about,
I watched the movie. I haven't read the book.
Yeah, okay. So the throat chakra has a lot to do with everything they talk about in The Secret. Manifesting your potential as a human being, becoming a co-creator with the creation principle, with God. So you're accessing your unlimited creative potential through the throat. And this can be applied to sexuality, to sexual experience also. And then if you go on raising the energy up, then you connect with what's called the third eye center, the sixth chakra, which is on the level of the eyebrows, but in the center of the brain. And this accesses our intuition, our clairvoyance, and helps us to become a visionary. And this is a feminine positive pole. Women are naturally very, very intuitive. And in my experience, if a woman wants to be really sexually fulfilled, she needs to awaken or come into flowering in the sixth chakra, in the heart chakra, and in the lower belly chakra. And through that, she will access her flowering as a woman, and she will also become sexually completely ecstatic.
Completely ecstatic, what does that mean?
That means orgasm on all chakra levels.
Okay.
And orgasm with the universe.
So,
she can have orgasm in the whole body, not
okay.
just the genitals.
So a lot of people are kind of shortchanging themselves with the sex act then, because what they're getting are genital orgasms, and
yes.
they're not cognizant of the fact that their entire body and even their spirit is capable of orgasming.
Exactly.
Okay.
You got it.
Yeah.
And for women, it's very interesting because the clitoris, as you know, has between 3,000 to 5,000 nerve endings devoted only to pleasure. And these nerves are connected to sensate areas all over the entire body. So if a woman wants to come into full arousal, where she has whole body orgasm, it's really important to connect with the whole body. For example, caressing or hugging, being connected in her whole skin surface.
Right.
And that will then greatly activate the clitoris and the clitoral network, which will make her much more ready for penetration. And a lot of women shortchange themselves because they go only for just the clitoris and penetration and nothing else. And so they only have a very localized experience of orgasm, whereas women are capable very easily of having full body arousal due to these nerves that are connected to the clitoris from all over the entire body. The entire body can become like an enormous clitoris if you go into full arousal as a woman.
Yes, exactly. Now, don't you think that men also have much more arousal potential than a lot of them are utilizing?
Of course. The thing is that the man has a tendency to be very localized around the genitals in his awareness, because the genitals are a male positive pole. And you can see that because the man's penis sticks out, and it's very obvious physically that the woman is receptive in the sex center. Man is outgoing or having a very positive polarity. And so it's very natural that men are very focused on their genitals. However, you can take the energy of the genitals once it's aroused and awakened and start spreading that all over the body. And then that will help the man to last longer in sex and to have much more bliss and ecstasy available to him, of course.
Okay. So, I still have this one question that's kind of eaten away at me, though.
Yes.
And that is, what is it that a man and woman can create together with divine sexuality besides a baby?
Well, the sky is the limit. Whatever you imagine, because anyway, we create our reality every moment through what we are imaging inside.
Yes.
And that can be on a subconscious or conscious level. And sexual energy is a very, very potent force in the universe. And you can actually, you can harness that, if you like, to create anything that you would like. And a word of caution there is to find out what you really want.
Well, okay. We're at caution because we're kind of starting to talk about sex magic.
Yeah, that's sex magic.
You know, okay, so we're talking about Tantra, Doorway to the Divine, Sacred Sexuality, and Sex Magic. I'm thinking that my listeners are probably getting a little bit confused now. Can you kind of help sort those out?
Well, that's all the one and the same. Tantra is about expanding your consciousness by applying awareness to any aspect of life, including sexuality.
Right.
And sex does play a very big part in it, because that will be your baseline, that's your roots. And then sacred sexuality will be applying tantric practices to your sex act. And then sex magic is harnessing your sexual energy and then using that very consciously to manifest whatever you would like.
And oftentimes with sex magic, you actually want to do like a prescribed set of rituals, maybe use affirmations, visualizations. I know some people even put pictures up on the wall while they're having sex. Is that the kind
yes.
of sex magic you're familiar with?
Yes. You know, there's many, many different techniques. And you're basically consciously using your sexual energy and applying it to the creation principle within you, because we are, if you like, gods.
Okay.
Like we are an aspect of God. Therefore, it's like saying the dewdrop contains the ocean.
Uh-huh.
The drop that comes out of the ocean contains the ocean. So we contain that creation principle within us, and we can access that, and we can use it and apply it very consciously. And this is what's talked about in The Secret. So you can use the sexual energy to amplify your potentiality of creation. And in Tantra, that may be used in the creation of a baby so that you have conscious conception. And it can also be used for whatever else you want to create, a painting or build a house or... you know, manifest the love of your dreams or whatever it is.
And in a lot of ways, what I see you doing is tying this back into something you mentioned right at the beginning of this program, which was The Secret.
Yes, The Secret, meditation.
Yeah. Well, you actually talked about the book and the movie, The Secret, which,
yeah.
You know, has a lot to do with laws of attraction. And do you think that the energy that's released during sex is actually so powerful that the sort of things that people engage in, whether they're affirmations or creative visualizations, actually have more power in that moment?
Yes, of course. Definitely.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sex is the creation principle. This is what is giving birth to life. It deserves the highest attention paid to it. You know, scientists are studying all kinds of things.
True.
They should be studying human sexuality.
Well, or just sexuality in general. I mean, it's, you know, whether it's human or not, it all
yeah,
creates,
sexuality in general.
It creates life on this planet.
And you've probably heard of the bonobos, right? Bonobos?
Yes.
They make love, not war. You know about that.
I sure do. They're my favorite. I consider them my mascot.
Yes, I love the bonobos. They are so awesome.
They
have
a lot to teach us
about sex, make love, not war.
You know, a lot of people have actually called them the tantric you know, monkeys, which is, of course, the wrong term because they're not monkeys, they're apes. But some people do call them the tantric monkeys. What do you think about that? Do you think animals practice tantra?
Well, I think, you see, animals are operating by instinct. They may or may not have a certain degree of cognitive awareness. And human beings have free will, which sets us apart from the animal kingdom. However, if you look at bonobos, their sexuality comes closest to human sexuality of any animal sexuality that we know. And the women have screaming orgasms. They can be in all kind of positions. They're not relying on the time of the year or the month about when to make love. They can make love any time. And it's incredible, you know. It's really inspiring to see animals that are having that much range in their sexual expression.
And it's highly unusual. But the bonobos, really, they are pansexual and polymorphous and definitely having lots of sex that's got nothing to do with procreation.
Exactly. And they're an endangered species, and it would be very nice, the more people that get on board, to help save them.
Yeah, let's put in a word for our friends Michael Hurley and Sally Cox over at Bonobo Conservation Initiative. And if you don't know where to find them, you can just go bonobo.org and go adopt a bonobo.
Yes, wonderful.
But speaking of pitching websites, we're actually coming up towards the end of our hour here, so I want to give you a chance to tell people how they can get your book and also where they can find out what your schedule is and hopefully come to one of your lectures or seminars.
Yes. So everything that we've been talking about on this program is mentioned in the book and much more also.
And it's beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous. Lots of beautiful photos. And you know what? I just want to say that you've used a vast variety of models. They're all attractive people, but you've got a lot of diversity in ages.
Yes, the models are all people who've been practicing Tantra with me. And I even have my mom in there.
You have your mother in here.
Yes, she's 93 now.
Are you
so
in here?
And we have all ages of people.
You do.
And
you do
one thing I like is that those are people that are not models. You know, they're just...
No, they're not models. They're real...
they're real people who are really practicing Tantra.
Yes.
And my website... Hello?
Oh, I said they all look very happy and healthy.
Yes, they are. So my website is www.tantra-essence.com, and that's your one-stop Tantra shop. You can find groups, you can find books and CDs and blog, and there's a newsletter. I put out a newsletter every month, so that's a nice place to tune into. And this book is published by Findhorn Press.
Oh, I called it Findhorn. Okay.
That's findhornpress.com.
Findhorn Press. And that's actually in the UK.
Yes. But the book is distributed all over the world.
You gotta find it on Amazon.
It should be easy to find either on Amazon or on in the bookshop. If your bookshop doesn't have it, make sure they order it.
Okay.
And you can look on Finhorn Press website also, finhornpress.com.
And again, the name of the book, Divine Sexuality, The Joy of Tantra.
Yes.
Yeah. And
so it's been a great pleasure talking to you. You have such interesting questions.
You know, you got up in an ungodly hour for this radio show, and I really thank you for that.
Yes, I did.
What, five in the morning.
Is
it 5 o'clock in the morning?
Yes.
Yes. Well, I really appreciate this, and this is your second time of calling in, because we'd had a little bit of a mix-up last time. So I really appreciate your persistence, and it's a pleasure that we finally got to connect.
Yeah, I'm very happy about it. Wonderful.
Yeah, it's a beautiful book. Beautiful book. Congratulations.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Sarita. I really, really enjoyed our interview. And
yeah,
for the listeners, next Monday, I'm going to have a very good friend of mine. Her name is Francesca Gentile. She's going to be on. And our topic, who knows, we may be talking about the divine feminine. So tonight we were talking about divine sexuality. Next week, we very possibly could be talking about divine feminine. We'll have to wait and see, though, because Francesca and I are good friends, and we just might surprise you. The week after that, I'm going to be interviewing Joanne Price, and she's got a brand new book out called Better Than Ever, and that is about sex after, I think, 50 or 60. I'm not entirely sure about that. I haven't gotten the book yet from her agent, but I will have it by then, and I'll let you know. Okay. Thanks so much for tuning into the Shame Free Zone, and I will see you all next Monday.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with you. Sering kesepian.